නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So we have been discussing today and yesterday, and I think even before that, the mental factors which form the wholesome cognition. And because it was also the subject matter of our discussions on a Tuesday, so it is very good to connect together. And we have integrated it into our study of Abhidhamma. And we have integrated into our study of Abhidhamma in terms of the living tradition. So we have started from the discussion on the wholesome cognitions and the developed wholesome cognitions, the sublime cognitions and the supermundane cognitions, which are the developed wholesome cognitions. So we have explained this wholesome cognition in terms of the chittavitis, in the paths of cognitions in which they appear. It is very important to remember that all these cognitions, they appear in the chittavitis, in the path of cognition. There is no wholesome cognition without the path of cognition. And we have explained that this cognition appear in a very special javanas, very special running through the object. We have explained all the parts of the cognition which appears in regard to the objects of the five senses and in regard to the mental object. So it is to be remembered that all these sublime cognition and also the supermundane cognition appear in regard to the mental objects. It is a special kind of manodvara viti, of the mental cognition. Because the object of these cognitions, with the exception of the chatudhatu avatthana, cognition, the concentration in regard to the four elements, and with the exception of the arupa cognition, in the second and the fourth arupa jhana, all the other objects of the sublime or supermundane cognitions are either concepts, and in case of supermundane cognition, nirvana, which is also the concepts, and nirvana can only be cognized by mental cognition. And how we come to this mental, special mental cognition, we have already explained in terms of the chittavitis. And now we have discussed so far the mental factors which appear in each wholesome cognition starting with the seven sabbacitta sadharana, seven mental factors common to all cognitions. You should become familiar with them. Then we have emphasized that in case of the first jhana, which we are discussing, which is a key to entering this living tradition of nama paricheda, huh? We start normally, we start from rupa paricheda, from the understanding of rupa. But in case you are working with the sublime mind, with the jhanas, then you can start with the nama paricheda. You don't need to start with the rupa paricheda. So we have started with the nama paricheda. And based our explanation also on the suttas, especially in reference to the Anupada Sutta, huh, of the Majjhima Nikaya, where this method is explained. And then, in case of the first jhana, which is our base, all the pakinakas, all the scattered mental factors also appear. So you get seven sabbacitta sadharana, seven mental factors common to all cognitions. You get six mental factors scattered. They all have to appear without exception in the first jhana and even in the mind preceding the entrance to the first jhana. All the that we have described, the parikama, upachara, anuloma, of course gotrabhu also, they all have the same factors. And now we have come to the 19. We have pointed out that they are all together in the Theravada tradition, 25 wholesome mental factors which appear in wholesome cognitions. 19 of them appear in each and every wholesome cognition, so it is very important to understand them. And they are explained, as we have specially emphasized, in certain order. This order is also very important for understanding them as being a process. Learning meditation is a process of learning wisdom, wisdom of samatha and vipassana. And these wholesome factors, they are developed precisely in the process of samatha and vipassana. So that in the tradition they are explained in the order as we have learned them is of great significance, because this is also the order of attaining mastery in the sublime cognitions and finally liberation. And mastery in the sublime cognition, for example, in the Upaklesa Sutta of the Majjhima Nikaya, is also explained as the content of Buddha's enlightenment, what Buddha experienced under the Bodhi tree is explained there as the learning, the mastery of the sublime minds, especially of the abhinyas, which the mastery of abhinyas is the sign of mastery of the sublime minds. So with this understanding we come to these 19 so-called niyata cetasikas, the 19 cetasikas which are necessarily appearing in all wholesome cognition. And we started with sada. And we have explained Sada as being the leader, the great hero, Sada, and everybody follows. When the Sada is not there, nothing will follow. Without conviction, we are, so to say, as far as the developed wholesome cognition is concerned, we are dead for the real progress in samatha and vipassana. The only those who have very firm conviction can succeed in samatha and vipassana. That is why some scholars in Sri Lanka especially say that for the normal putujanas it is impossible to have real sadha, because like Ratana Sutta said, it belongs to the sekhas, not to the putujanas. But this is of course misunderstanding. The putujanas definitely need sadha. Without sadha they can't do anything. Everything wholesome depends on sadha. The progress in meditation is absolutely dependent on sadha, and we have defined sadha as okapana, which means avakalpana, implying arranging oneself with the object. Unless you arrange yourself with the object, no question of entering samatha and vipassana. So it implies certain understanding. Then, this understanding being accompanied, we have said that the sadha is base for dhammachanda, for the desire of dhamma. And when there is desire of dhamma, what follows? You are guarding your mind. That is a job of sati. That's why we have explained sati a bit more in detail, because it is a most important mental factor to understand for those who want to understand meditation. No matter whether it is samatha or vipassana, all job of meditation depends on sati. And we have defined the characteristic of sati as apilapana, not letting the mind float away from the beneficial object, and at the same time be aware of the non-beneficial objects. That's how one guards one mind. That is why the manifestation of sati is arakha, the guarding the mind. We have all explained it in detail. I hope you remember it. Then when one guards one's mind, sati being the guardian of oneself, then one will be able to use the guardians of the world, which is shame. Shame due to regard for oneself, which is hiri, and shame due to regard for others, which is otapa. So they follow sati. It's not by accident. It is desana kama. They are in the tradition explained purposely in this order. Because without sati, without guarding the mind, there will not be any question of shame due to regard for oneself and others taking strong roots in the mind. Only those who practice sati will then educate their mind in more and more sensitivity, and this sensitivity of mind comes to expression through hari and otapa, through shame due to regard for oneself, so to say, for one's better self, and due to regard for others. Then one has, when one has regard for oneself and for others, due to the practice of mindfulness, one protects one's mind. What will happen? The alobha, the detachment. Which is, as we have explained, the necessary condition for contemplating anicca is detachment. Without detachment, no question of understanding anicca. And what means detachment? What is the characteristic of detachment? Alagha, not clinging to the object, not sticking to the object. We have compared it with the drop of water on the lotus flower. It will never stick to it. And what is the opposite of alobha, of detachment? Lobha, which means greed. And what is the feeling of greed? We have explained this morning. You still remember? Like a piece of mamsa pesa, the piece of raw flesh on the frying pan. What does a piece of raw flesh on the frying pan do? Sticks to. Ooh, terrible. So when you develop these good qualities, you start, when you practice sati and shame, you start being aware of it. The attachment is like feeling like piece of raw flesh on the iron frying pan, not on the modern frying pans, but on the old ones, the iron ones. Just a piece of iron, that's all. Then if you put the piece of raw flesh on that, mamsa pesa, you will see what attachment feels like. So we have explained this Dhamma this morning, and we have explained that when non-attachment is there, we will understand what the other side of detachment is. The other side of detachment is non-anger, non-hate, adosa. Alobha and adosa, they come together. And they are expression of our growth in wholesome. When we grow in wholesome, how does it come to expression? Through our detachment and through our non-anger. Due to practicing non-anger, we have explained, one understands dukkha. Due to practicing detachment, one understands anicca. Due to practicing non-hate, one understands dukkha. And the essence, we have explained, the lakkhana, the characteristic of adosa as being achandika, non-violence, aviruddha as being non-opposing. All that we have discussed in the morning, so now it's time to come to next, most, in a way, most important holds a mental factor. All traditions agree with it. No matter whether Vaibhasika Abhidhamma or the Yogacara Abhidhamma or the Theravada, there is no question of any wholesome mind without Upekha. Upekha in the sense of Tatra Majatata. Not Upekha in the sense of Vedana Upekha. You have to understand Upekha is a very wide concept. In a Visuddhimagga, you will find explained 10 kinds of upekha. The most important division in upekha is the Vedana upekha and Sankhara upekha. The big confusion about upekha. And all the meditation teachers don't teach anything else but just upekha. Upekha is the most important Dhamma to understand for meditation. And indeed, Upekha is explained as a meaning of enlightenment itself. The difference between enlightened people, no matter whether it is Buddha or the Pacheka Buddha or the Arahat, the difference between non-enlightened beings and the enlightened beings is that enlightened being cannot leave the upekha. Enlightened beings, what is the dwelling of the enlightened man? If somebody asks you, very clear, it is upekha. Upekha itself is the meaning of enlightenment. So it is very important to understand this Dhamma correctly and thoroughly. So this upekha, which is accompaniment of the all wholesome cognitions, is not the Vedana upekha, is not the upekha in the sense of neither pleasant feeling nor unpleasant feeling. It is upekha in the sense of Tatra Majatata. Tatra Majatata means, Tatra means there, Majatata being in the middle, being there right in the middle. That what it means being there right in the middle and why it comes after Alobha and Adosa, it is very important to understand. Alobha Adosa, we have said, is growing in wholesome. And the Tatra Majatata is the ripeness of wholesome, is becoming ripe in wholesome. You can become ripe in wholesome only when, due to practice of Alobha Adosa, of detachment and non-hate or non-resistance, you will be able to understand and to realize this Tatra Majatata, being in the middle, upekha. It is also the essence of the only way to enlightenment explained by Buddha, the Satipatthana. When the Satipatthana makes progress, it will be manifested by upekha. That's why it is in every exercise of the Satipatthana Sutta, in Digha Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, the Buddha always repeats, Anisito Viharati Vineya Loke Abhija Domanasam. Anisito Viharati means nothing else but the upekha, Tatra Majatata. He dwells Anisito means detached, but not detached in the sense of alobha only, detached in the sense of especially of clinging to the pleasant and resisting the unpleasant. And abhijja domanasa is nothing else but the lobha and dosa. So vinaya loke, vinaya, having restricted or having removed in regards to the word loke, the locative case, having the gerundium, having removed in regard to the world. What is the world in Buddhism? You should know by now. The five aggregates of existence, this is the world. If we see any other world, then what do we see? The horns on the head of the hare, the hair on the turtle. So vinaya loke abhijja domanasam, having removed in regard to the world the lobha and dosa, we have especially emphasized the tatra majjatata, the staying in the middle. The upekha comes after understanding of alobha dosa, otherwise no question of understanding what is staying in the middle. So having removed the lobha and dosa, having removed abhijja, greed, and domanasa. Domanasa is nothing else but hate. Hate means bad mind. Domanasa means bad mind. The mind which wants to get rid of the undesired object. Patigha. And domanasa is a feeling of the mind which has resistance. So having removed this greed and hate, he remains anisito. He remains detached, literally non-established in the world, non-established in the five aggregates of existence. And how can one remain in the world non-established in the five aggregates of existence? Only by practicing sati, alobha, adosa, with all the other mental, wholesome mental factors which are connected with it. So it is very worthwhile to become familiar with them and watch them in yourself. How much progress you make in meditation is you can measure by the presence of these dhammas in yourself. And the most important dhamma, the ripening, is then, as we have said, tatra majjatata. So let us come to tatra majjatata, to staying in the middle. So the perfect tatra majjatata, perfect staying in the middle, belongs to the enlightened person. This is called the chal anga upekha. Chal anga upekha means the upekha in regard to the five causes of cognition. What are the five causes of cognition? The color, the sounds, the smells, tastes, the photaba, the how do you say, tangibles and the mental objects. These are the five causes of cognition. If they are not there, no world. If they are there, the world will be there. So, being unestablished in the world means being unestablished in these objects of cognition, nothing else. It does not mean that the enlightened people do not cognize. They see, Buddha sees, Buddha hears, Buddha thinks. But he is not established. Why? Because he has chalanga upekha. The arahat also, he sees everything just like we do. He hears everything just like we do. He tastes everything just like we do. He knows exactly it is good taste, it is not good taste, but he is not established in it. So this is the Tatra Majatata in its perfect condition. This is difficult to attain, not an easy job.
Yes, I have a question, because after singing the Panchasika, he sing very nicely, he played his musical instrument. Buddha said that, oh, it is very nice, you sing very nice and you play also. Then and Buddha want to give an effort for the Panchasika, or Buddha also hearing it is very nice music.
Yes, of course. The arahats are, Buddha is also a human being. Arahats also human beings. So what is important is to know that this, for example, in the Anenja Upaya Sutta, Anenja Upaya Sutta, Buddha explained the process of attaining enlightenment as attaining upekha. Then Ananda is asking, one who attains upekha, he is enlightened or not? Then Buddha says, one who attains upekha is not attached to upekha. he is enlightened indeed. So the upekha is not something one can be attached to, therefore it is enlightenment. The true upekha, the chalanga upekha, is a upekha also without attachment to the upekha. It is very difficult. Therefore, the upekha is the summit of wisdom. That is why upekha comes in the bhojangas as the last, after samadhi, when the samadhi has been perfected, then one will attain upekha. And the samadhi, we have explained, the samadhi is the correct application to the object. The upekha is a result of this practice of correct application to the object in the Buddhist sense. So let us come to the different aspects of upekha. So upekha is explained in the tradition as citta cetasikanam samavahita. Samavahita means the sama means equal, the balanced flow of the mind with its mental factor, with its mental factors. That means the mind neither grab for the pleasant object nor rejects the unpleasant object. So it is explained in Abhidharma Kosha, the Upekha is explained as Chitasya Anabhoga. Huh? The Abhoga means effort of mind towards the object, and Anabhoga is effortless condition of the mind towards the object. It is compared this Chetasikanam Samavahita condition, the equal flow of mind with its mental factor is compared in the tradition, also northern tradition, also southern tradition, the same example is given when the horses Ajanya, when the super horse, how do we say Ajanya? The very, the best horse. Huh? Oh, always falling. When the Ajanya, the horse, when the most, the highest quality horses are called Ajanya.
Thoroughbreds.
Thoroughbred, wonderful word. I am very happy. How do you say in German? Thoroughbred?
Rein
Rassig. Das ist aber nicht ganz dasselbe. Okay. Important is that we all understand. So when this thoroughbred horse is running smoothly, then the horseman can... The horseman does not need to hold the reins. It just runs by itself. So this is the perfection of the mind. When the mind flows just by itself smoothly without attaching to the pleasant, without resisting the unpleasant, with a full understanding, you have to always bring it together with wisdom. With a full understanding of the situation, so this is the effortless condition of the samavahita, of the smooth, balanced flow of mind with its mental faculties, where nothing clash with nothing. How wonderful state. You should try hard to get it. So this Ajaneya Samagati, this Samagati, this means the Gati means the going, Sama means the equal going of the thoroughbred horse, is the essence for our understanding of the Tatra Majatata, of the Upekha, as in the sense of staying in the middle. Staying in the middle means not taking any part. apaka. That means you neither, as we have said, you neither attach to the pleasant, give rise to greed by sticking like a raw piece of flesh on the iron pen, nor resisting. In Abhidhamma, the hate has been compared to pumping poison into blood or burning one's own base. So when you have upekkha, how wonderful, you neither get burned on the on the hot iron, nor you are burning your base, pumping blood, pumping poison into your blood, then you feel like what? Very wonderful feeling. So this even flow then is the lakana, the characteristic of the Tatra Majatata. Then the its taste or manifestation is unadhi kata nivarana, preventing deficiency and access. This is what we have mentioned, this example of the thoroughbred horse running smoothly. You can forget the reins, just relax completely, and it's running by itself because there is no access and no lack in the conditionings of the mind. That is why in the seven causes of enlightenment, as we have said, the upekkha comes after samadhi, which is the correct application of mind to the object. Only when you have learned samadhi, perfected samadhi, that's why we have said, like in Upaklesa Sutta, Buddha explained this to Anuruddha, his whole experience of enlightenment under the Bodhi tree as perfecting the samadhi in the sense of perfect application to the object without any upaklesas, without any hindrances for correct application to the object. When he has succeeded in it, then he succeeded in the perfect use of the supernatural powers, and then everything became clear. Then it is also manifested, its another taste is, another aspect which we have already mentioned. It is pakha pata upacheda, the cutting off the possibility of taking part. Pakha pata means falling into part, taking part. I like it, I dislike it. That means taking part. That is not taking part, that is why anisito. Anisito viharati vineya loke abhija domana samsat is just this condition, not taking part, not good, not bad. It is just as it is, but it does not mean that you don't know, you are ignorant what is good and you are ignorant what is bad. It only means that you are not established in it. Don't get confusion. The Buddha and the enlightened people see perfectly what is good and what is bad and lead people to good, even can use rough words to do so. But yet they are not established. So the metta and karuna are important wholesome factors and are also the necessary accompaniment of enlightened people. No enlightened people without metta and karuna. So we come to the manifestation of the Tatra Majatata is nothing else but just this Majata Bhava, the neutrality of mind. When you have neutrality of mind, then you can do whatever you do successfully. But this neutrality of mind is a long process to learn. Buddha explains, like purifying the gold. Sometimes you have to blow the fire. Sometimes you have to cool with water. Sometimes you have to leave it. And the primary cause of this upekha is just as we have explained now by this example of purifying the gold. These are the all the other dhammas, sahajata dhammas, the dhammas appearing in the same cognition as tatra majatata, as the neutrality of mind, which are purified, which have neither access nor lack. So, what are the aspects of this Tatra Majatata, staying in the middle? It is important to understand. So, we have said that the perfection of it is a staying in the middle or neutrality of the enlightened persons. We have pointed out that the difference between the enlightened and the non-enlightened is that the enlightened ones cannot lose their neutrality. There is no a case of enlightened man losing his neutrality. It does not mean, not to misunderstand, it does not mean that he does not get involved in anything. He certainly can do many good things, but because he has no greed and no hate, so he is not fettered by his own mind and not fettered by anything else. Now, the other aspect, important aspect of this neutrality is the upekha that we find in the four Brahma viharas. Metta, karuna, mudita, upekha. Upekha in the, it is not by accident that upekha comes last in the Brahma viharas, because the upekha is the condition for perfection also in metta, karuna and mudita. Without upekha, no question of perfecting metta, karuna and mudita. And it is the summit of the practice of metta, karuna and mudita. We cannot attain perfect upekha brahma vihara without having practiced thoroughly the metta, karuna and mudita. Then another aspect of this Tatra Majjatata is upekha, as we have already mentioned, as bojanga, as the cause of enlightenment, which comes after samadhi. So this upekha as bojanga is that upekha by which the sati is purified. Yaya upekhaya sati parisuddhi hoti. Sa athato tatra majatata. That upekha, which is the bojanga, which is the among the seven causes of enlightenment, is the result of the purification of sati through all the other causes of enlightenment, starting with wisdom, Dhamma Vichaya, and ending especially with samadhi, with the correct application of mind to the object. You are learning the worldly samadhis in order to learn the correct application to the object. When you have learned it, then vipassana becomes very easy. Why? Because now we come to the next aspect of upekha, jhana upekha. Each jhana, without exception, necessarily must have this upekha. There is no question of any jhana without upekha. You should be clear about it. The jhana in the sense of kusala chitta ekagata. There can be jhana without upekha, but this jhana is then, in the northern tradition, we distinguish, they distinguish three kinds of jhana. The impure jhana, which is without upekha, the pure jhana, which is with upekha, and the then anasava jhana, the jhana which is a real ditta dhamme sukha vihara, it is dwelling in perfect happiness here and now of the enlightened people. That is chalanga upekha. when we have learned jhana, we can dwell in happiness, but this is not really dwelling what Buddha means by ditta dhamme sukha vihara. Ditta dhamme sukha vihara belongs only to those who can practice chalanga upekha. You go to the airport. Okay, so we will continue next week. And I hope that my talk will be not just you will think about these things and try to absorb it slowly and put it together with the what you're learning in the Abhidhamma, the other things, so that you make some coherent picture in your mind, and when you meditate, then you will get some clarity. When clarity is there, then meditation will become easier and easier. Okay, so
Akasatta Chabumartha Deva Naga Mahidika Punyang Tang Anumoditva Chiram Rakantu Loka Sasanang Akasatta Chabumartha Deva Naga Mahidika Punyang Tang Anumoditva Chiram Rakantu Desanang Akasatta Chabumartha Deva Naga Mahidika Punyang Tang Anumoditva Chiram Rakantu Tumamparam.
So tomorrow no class. So have a nice day and have a nice weekend, and see you on Monday.